upon a time there was a man who traveled round with a guitar in his hand. For the sake of the story, we'll say his name is Corey, the point of which I'm sure you'll understand. One night in Chattanooga, Tennessee, he drew fire from the local authorities. Strangely enough, he didn't break any laws. They just said he pissed the wrong guy off.
Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. So glad you guys are joining us today because we're talking about one of my favorite cities. Chattanooga has always been on my list, Olivia, but I hadn't been in a long time. And when I went back, I was surprised to see all of the art that you can see there and good food, too.
Yeah, I bet you were surprised to see more of a focus on the art because Chattanooga's already proved itself with the aquarium, with Ruby Falls, but now they want to show some shine on the art scene too, so that's really cool.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's so many great museums there. As a matter of fact, I had a chance to go to a museum called the Songbirds Guitar Museum. And when I first started, I was like, a museum about guitars, really? But when I went inside, I was fascinated. I mean, there are so many interesting guitars there and lots of guitars from artists, from musicians that you're very familiar with, some that are still with us and some that are no longer with us. And the museum is really all about their influence on the guitar. It's really fascinating to hear their history of it. It's not just, you know, a piece of wood with some strings. There really is much more to it. So I'd like to share a conversation that I had with Damian Rogers, who is the digital media coordinator there at Songbirds Guitar Museum. And I asked him a couple of questions about why the museum was created and really, you know, just why they decided to focus on guitars. So here's what he had to say.
Songbirds began, we actually opened about seven and a half months ago, back in March, late February. And so what we are is it's the world's largest collection of vintage guitars in the world, the most complete collection full of anywhere from Fender to Gibson, early prototypes and things like that that show kind of the story of rock and roll. And that's actually what we kind of want to focus on, and we want to give people an experience to kind of enjoy that music that spawns so many other great genres and things like that. But it's very rootsy. It's very kind of the beginnings of that music. And so our facility houses over 520 or so incredibly rare and vintage instruments that tell that story. And so we do revolving exhibits and things like that, just like any museum, but we're a little bit more rock and roll. It's a little bit cooler. So if you come down, you can do a general admission walkthrough where it's kind of self-guided. You kind of see that story that I'm talking about, starting in the 1950s with the solid body electric guitar, and then how that evolved into all kinds of custom colors, all kinds of really kind of odd ideas that we kind of saw earlier, but then all the way back to our all access tour, which gives you a tour guide that takes you through and tells you some of the really unique and incredible stories behind these instruments. And so that's what we're here to do, is kind of educate, but also give people a really fun experience, really rocking experience.
Well, I love both the education, but I also love the stories as well. And you provided a couple of those for me, and I'd love for you to share them also with my listeners. So let's start off by, in case people are like me, and I was kind of a newbie to learn a lot that you've shared with me today. Why don't we start by just explaining exactly what a solid body guitar is, in case there's some folks who are listening that are not familiar with that.
Sure.
And why that was so important to create a guitar in that fashion and form.
Right, absolutely. So going back to the 1940s, you have what's commonly referred to as the big band era. And so you've got a horn section, you've got a vocal section, and then you've got this, you know, all kinds of percussion and things like that. But then in the corner, almost, you've got this guy playing his heart away on a little acoustic guitar, and he's more of a timekeeper than anything. And so what people like Leo Fender wanted to do, and Ted McCarty over at Gibson, they wanted to kind of give the guitar a voice, give, you know, these acoustic, up until now, acoustic instruments that had this great rich sound, but were kind of overshadowed by, you know, a big band scenario. So what they did was come up with a way to amplify these instruments. And so with the solid body story, you know, with Fender, the story of the solid body electric guitar really starts with Fender in 1950, and that's when they come out with a solid body electric guitar. And so through all their experiments, and Leo Fender, he was an electrical guy, and he didn't even play guitar, which is funny because his name is all over so many incredible instruments. But so what they did was they came up with a way to amplify these instruments. And so the solid body electric guitar was louder. It was just different. And so I think that is what kind of that's kind of what jump starts the rock and roll genre and lifestyle, really, is that loud. It, you know, it was so much more in your face and things like that. And, you know, granted, it wasn't like it was dismayed by it or anything. Mm-hmm. It was just new and it was fresh. Yeah, it was great, and people were all into it. And so the solid body electric guitar is essentially what you've got is a body that is a solid block of wood, as opposed to, and it's been carved out in the shape of, you know, like a Telecaster or an Esquire, versus like an acoustic instrument, which is hollowed out on the inside, and then it has a sound hole over the body that lets that sound come out and reverberate inside the body. And so the difference being, solid body electric guitar doesn't have that cavity in the middle, versus an acoustic, which does.
So different types of wood then would probably create different sounds.
Absolutely. And so early on, you know, they were doing, like I showed you that prototype earlier, that red one, they didn't quite know what was going to be best for the sound, for that electric sound. And so, you know, that's what we have, is a lot of those prototypes and a lot of those bodies of those guitars that were made out of, like, pine, for instance, which wasn't the best means of wood that they could use. And so, but they experimented, and so they found out later that, okay, maybe we should make the Telecaster out of ash, you know, maybe that's going to be the best way to go. And so that's, from then on, that's how they did it. And with the Stratocaster, the same kind of thing, you know, they early prototypes would be made out of like spruce, but then later they found that, okay, alder wood is the way to go on that. And so through, you know, it's just trial and error. And that's kind of why it's a lot more hands-on back then. And that's why this era is so important, because they were finding out all these things.
Wow, the history of how guitars evolved really does make it very interesting. Just want to go check it out for that reason.
And it's fascinating to learn about, you know, how many times they had to perfect the wood, the color, the make, and the shape, all to get the perfect guitar.
The perfect sound to it, absolutely. But, you know, this next take now, I have another one I want to share with everyone. We'll talk about the relationship between the artist and their guitar, and how their guitar's appearance helped them stand out, and why that was such an important part of the guitar as well. So here, take a listen as Damian describes that.
When it comes to the artist and when they would kind of design their preference, there was a very tight relationship between artist and brand. And so they would come in and they would work on, you know, this is how I want my guitar to look and things like that. And so comparing it to now, you know, you can go to, for instance, like Gibson's Custom Shop or Fender's Custom Shop, and if you hand them, you know, a lot of money, they'll pretty much make you kind of whatever, you know, your dream guitar. But this was back in a time when that wasn't the case. People didn't just kind of readily have the available funds to do that. So the ones that really stood out were the artist guitars, the ones that were pushing this brand. Like I mentioned earlier, Wanda Jackson, who's the queen of rockabilly, you know.
And she had those kind of peachy colors.
Yeah, the shell pink, which is a super cool color, and it's a rare color, and things like that, that as an artist you want to stand out. And so that's why they would design these guitars this way, or give it this finish, or put crazy things on it, like the flowers that I showed you, though, which was a rarity, you know. And you know, other artists like Jimmy Bryant, who liked different kind of knobs that stood out on his guitar, things like that made you stand out. Because as an artist, or as a traveling musician, that's how you got your name out there. We didn't have this digital space, you know, that we know very well now today. They didn't have that back then. And so in order to get their music out there, their message out there, they had to travel. And That's how they did it. That's how they made themselves known. So,
and they were known by those guitars as well.
Exactly.
Especially if they were colorful or unique designs, things like that.
Yeah, very almost legendary. You know, like you mentioned Lucille earlier, like B.B. King. And then we actually, in the room back there, we have one of Chuck Berry's guitars back there. And that's another one. It's like, it used to be this rich red cherry finish. Mm-hmm. And now it's still cherry, but it's faded. It's got its own color, you know, it looks different. And so before,
Chuck Berry red.
Yeah, exactly. Now the Chuck Berry red. So, you know, but a legend. I mean, like father of rock and roll, you know, and things like that we have that we want to make sure tells that story, you know, the story of Chuck Berry, but also the story of rock and roll, and how important he was to that. And people like that need, you know, their story needs to be heard. So.
And the story of the electric guitar is, I mean, it's all here.
Yes. Yes.
So, Damien, how can people come and visit? I mean, we're not that far. We're just right down the road.
Yeah.
So I think this is a great weekend trip to come up and check out the museum and get that VIP tour from
Absolutely.
You guys so you can really get the history and hear more of the stories. So can you give us a little bit of information about dates and times and a website?
Everything is on our website at songbirdsguitars.com. www.songbirdsguitars.com. And then, you know, we're open every day. Every day we have hours.
And a ton of eye candy. I mean, if you like guitars, like music, any of that, I mean, it's a lot of beautiful, beautiful instruments to see here.
Yeah.
So, Damien, thank you so much. Really appreciate you taking some time to show me around.
Absolutely.
And give me some stories. And, of course, talk to the listeners now as well. So, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Olivia, so much to see and do in Chattanooga. It's definitely on my list to go back again because it's so easy to do, just a weekend trip.
It is very easy, and it was great to learn about some new places that I've never even heard of, having gone there every year.
Exactly, and I hope we have inspired you all, too, to put Chattanooga on your list of destinations for 2018. Lots of things to see in the arts, things to do all around with hiking and nature as well. And you'll have a great time nearby, not too far to drive. Now, this is Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. We're signing off here. We thank you guys for listening to us. And we'll be back next week with more destinations, tips, and great information for you. Here on Travel Bags with Anita and Friends, brought to you by the Sapporo Island Beach Vacations. Check out their website at SapporoIslandBeachVacations.com. Bye-bye. I want to get away.